This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
This wonderful spread of people who are doing great things in their home, that really matters because we need a lot of people doing great things in their home, playing out that at their schools, doing that in the community, doing it across Medway, doing it nationally if they can, and then like Nick, trying to do that at a world stage. And we need all of those people kind of aligned doing good stuff.
Hello and welcome to this Tread Lightly podcast from us at the Raynham Eco Hub. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Liz.
And this podcast is where we delve a little bit deeper into those conversations with local everyday heroes that are doing small and impactful changes. We hope that you get as much out of this as me and Liz do and that you also laugh just as much too. Welcome to this episode where we are getting to chat to a local hero called Alan, actually known as Alan. He is a local champion who is bringing the conversation around air pollution that is pretty huge and bringing it down to a level that we can all understand. If you have been following the journey of his Smoky Buses campaign locally, this is one for you. Hello and welcome to this episode. We have got Alan Stockey, who fondly you may know as Alon, who is going to be chatting to us about all things air quality in Raynham. So how are you?
I'm really good. Buzzing since the awards on Saturday, which already seems a long time ago, given what we're starting to do already. But it's very nice to have that now passed and looking forward rather than the threat of it coming up.
It was so cute to watch you. So for any of you that are don't know, we had a Raynham Community Awards on Saturday night and Alan was the instigator of the first
Environment and Sustainability
Shield and presented it on Saturday night for local schools to nominate. But was he not cute, Liz? Did you not see his face when they announced the winner?
It was very cool.
Oh, you were the cutest.
Not my intent. I always think back to a series that used to be on. It's still on now. All Creatures Great and Small. And I remember there being the judging of the family pet competition that was on this thing. And the judging was the worst ever. And the vet, James Herriot, gave the prize to the goldfish. And everybody in the town was up in arms because they didn't think goldfish was a serious pet. So I kind of had that whole judging thing in my mind for the past few weeks now.
And it's good to get it out.
It is. And it's been so good to have others, you know, respond in the way they did. So Stuart Bourne was a judge who looked at the tree planting in hedgerows. Stuart Steed, who's the Environmental Protection Officer, Medway Council, looked at the reduction stuff around actual pollutants. And then to engage with the NHS ladies and have a young person's asthma care specialist on board.
That's so cool.
Start to work with
are
them.
These the NHS ladies?
Yes.
What do they call you, Alan?
Air Quality Alan.
Air Quality Alan. So tell us, Alan, Air Quality Alan, tell us a bit about you.
So I guess I'd start with the fact that I've lived in Raynham since I was born, just behind St Margaret's Church in Tudor Grove. Went to St Margaret's Junior School and Infant School when it was then at the top of Station Road.
About 22 years then.
Indeed. 63 years later, here I am, retired somewhat early, which I'm very grateful for. And I guess with time on my hands and having finished work and not really knowing what I was going to do, I then started to think more clearly about what I could do at community level. And that started with Action Forum, where I became part of the editorial team for a while, writing content and also promoting the idea that environmental issues and climate change could become a focus for Action Forum, where it had previously been about famine relief in Nigeria. So I kind of accidentally met you two in my back garden.
I remember it well.
How long ago that was now. Thinking, are they serious? Because if they really want to do all that stuff, for my brain, it needs to be slightly more structured.
And as we arrived, we went, if we're going to work with Alan, we have to work out how to make him not hate us.
Yeah, maybe, but it just struck me that I'd possibly got some skills that could benefit the Eco Hub.
And we're so glad that you did. Can we just say, interject?
You're very welcome.
For sticking with us.
But I guess all that great stuff that was the impetus for the Eco Hub around litter picking and pride in the town was absolutely fabulous. But for me, it didn't get to the core of the sort of climate change emergency, which was really about emissions and air quality And if we were serious, then we needed to do a bit more on that front and actually have a plan.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the start of my journey helping that. Was that the end of 2021, mm-hmm. I think? Mm-hmm. Sitting in the vicarage downstairs, talking through an outline plan of what it could be composed of and look like, and getting that group together in the church to vote on what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And at that point, they voted air quality.
Yeah.
So kind of it was quite by accident, if you like, that was something I got involved in and thought, well, if that's their priority and no one's putting their hand up to lead it, I'll lead it. Not knowing really what on earth I was taking on. I knew nothing about environmental science.
I was going to say, did you know anything about air quality at that point?
Not at all. Other than perhaps, you know, well, it's probably about, you know, pollen and... Yeah, clearly about exhaust fumes and the like, because everyone's seeing pictures of Beijing through the mist or Los Angeles or San Francisco, but not really in terms of how it's measured, how bad it is, what you can do about it, even the responsibility stuff at council level. And I remember you asking me some time ago, I think we were down at a Medway Ask Myself Help education day, and you said, what gets you riled? It's really upset.
That's a well good impression of me, by the way.
At that time, it was driving our grandchildren to soft play at Dobby's behind an horribly smoky bus, and me saying to my wife, Melanie, that ain't right. If that was a car, we'd all be going, that car shouldn't be on the road.
Did you actually say, that ain't right?
I did. And I got yes. to take a picture of the registration plate.
You sent it to me.
And as a result of that, went down a rabbit hole of local authority air quality, Arriva national politics, Arriva funding.
It was an insane journey. We all kind of watched this smoky bus story just unfold.
Well, it was interesting because while the smoky exhaust really, truly bugged me, what bugged me even more was being patted on the head by the council and Arriva. So if you really want to piss me off, you say, that's not for you to worry about. You go and have a nice day.
Shush, Alan.
Probably if you spoke to my youngest daughter and ask her how competitive I am, they'd all say I'm quite competitive. And she's even more competitive than me, which is something.
That's scary.
But that becomes persistence and I'm not going to lose.
And when you really, really care about something and then you get met with somebody who just goes, yeah, don't worry, it's fine. Like, it's not helpful. That's not where people's passions come to life, is it?
No, but I think on the positive side, a number of things coincided. Firstly, at that point, I formed a relationship with Councillor Martin Potter in Raynham, who actually pretty much immediately took my concerns seriously and forwarded them to the transport team inside Medway Council. And then I met with Stuart Steed, who's the Environmental Protection Officer, and he really kind of mentored me to that extent on how it worked, what to read, what to care about, what might make a difference, what doesn't. And it was only at that point that you start to see things like the funding wins for improvement and the anti-idling project in Raynham. And they're all like hooks on which you can start to make a difference. So it has been a crazy journey. I would say it's not quite over yet. We've seen some massive improvements in the reduction of the oldest, worst buses in Medway and Maidstone, which is how it's all kind of reported. But we're still the worst, oldest, most polluting fleet in Arriva's 14 district.
And why is structure. That, Alan? How do you end up with really crappy buses? Why?
Personally, I put it down to two things. One is, no one's been monitoring how bad it is. Everyone looks at their own isolated little piece. You had a great metaphor on the awards of the jigsaw and it all linking up. And one of the things I'm also passionate about is I don't see that same joined upness and cohesiveness in local authority government. And that's an absolute tragedy. And consequently, when they start to look at things, they only look at their bit of Medway. They don't even look at the Kent and Surrey district as a whole, which is how Arriva reports all their stuff, which is ours included. And they certainly don't go, I wonder what Swale's like, or I wonder what the next district up's like.
For getting good practice, mirroring good practice, do you mean, or to partner with for a louder voice? What kind of?
In the instance I was looking at it, to compare and contrast. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to actually take a look at how many of these things are still on the streets in Medway. You can do it in two clicks. You can pull it out into a spreadsheet like I did, and you can start playing with the data. But you've got to do that for 14 districts. And it's a bit time consuming to do that. It took me about a day the first time I did it to create a UK picture.
And isn't this the story as well, though, that everybody has their own skills, and so thank God for you, but you're not going to find every volunteer that's got the kind of capacity and the interest to do that, but thank God you did.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes the being driven helps, but also I think data used appropriately can really help inform. And it's not just the data then, it's about how you represent it. So to that end, being able, through Councillor Potter then getting me a seat at the table with Arriva, if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't have progressed. So the ability to be sitting with the guy who's got the relationship with Arriva and the councillor and active travel guy, that was necessary for me to be able to say, why are we the worst in the UK? Mm. To be told, oh no, we're not. And I go, oh, yes, we are.
Because you were able to have the data in front of you and say, no, actually,
it was nonsense. But you asked two questions, and I think it's important, because the fact that nobody looked is one thing. And because they didn't look, they didn't know how bad it was. So they were only ever focused on things like service delivery of buses and not actually, and from the perspective of the passenger and not from the perspective of the pedestrian. And that's the lens that I brought to this. It was about the school children walking down the A2 through rain, and the little survey we did that Dave and Linda Cashford helped with, you know, absolutely gold in the sense that, hang on a minute, we've got, not only have we got a skewed population of buses in Medway, we've also got a skewed schedule of buses coming through at the very time we want it to be cleanest, and that just wasn't good enough. And that's what kind of pushed me on.
Do you want to live more sustainably, but you just don't know where to start? Did you, like me, sign up for Veganuary and accidentally buy chicken sausages on day two? Does the whole eco thing leave you feeling confused and sometimes overwhelmed? If so, this is the podcast for you. Remember to check us out on our socials on Facebook and Instagram, the Rainham Eco Hub.
Can I just go back, though, a little bit slightly? You said your driver, and what is your driver to this?
Well, I'll give you two anecdotes. One is, as part of the, I'm a member of the U3A, and there is a Countdown to COP group as part of the U3A.
Which I think is really cool, by the way. Big up them.
It's getting there. But I saw a post that they did on social media, which was somebody holding a placard which said, "What did you do when you knew Granddad?" And I thought, okay, that's quite powerful. But more recently, I think separately, the message I have going through my head is, why didn't they do something? And I'm sure our kids, grandchildren, maybe even our brothers and sisters, and possibly parents evening, at some point when the dawning reality occurs, we'll say, why didn't they do something? Well, they is us and they is me. And I feel that there's a higher burden, responsibility on those with influence, capability and resource to do those things and to make a difference.
Whoa, bit deep. I like it.
I was going to use that at the awards, but I thought it was a bit too heavy.
I think you should. No, I don't think it is heavy. I think it gives an absolute real life glimpse, because I think from people on the sidelines, it's that stuff that kind of hits people, isn't it? It's that stuff that connects to people, that you're a granddad, you're a father, and you want to be able to leave a bit of a better world for your...
I mean, what's interesting, if you look at the shield that we awarded on Saturday... There's 17 little discs on it. So,
oh, no, don't. I know what you're going to say. Don't.
I will be as old and wise as Leon will be in January. And secondly, my grandchildren will be probably at university or have left university and all be voting age. God. And I think for me, therefore, that lens through which we can start to engage the schools and start to ensure that they know, and they know perhaps some of the things that they can do about it, becomes even more important. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'm still interested and passionate about smoky buses and air quality, but in terms of community engagement, I think this sort of access through the schools is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're starting to see that. It was really nice to hear a couple of the teachers talking after the award had been presented to say, I'm already got ideas about what we can do on energy, which
that's
is
really
our
cool
kind of theme for next year.
And that must give you a buzz, right? Because ultimately, teachers say to us all the time, don't they, that we're so stacked with time, we're so stacked with it. But to hear that and to know that you have been part of that kind of energy driver for them to be like, actually, it doesn't have to be so, so big. It doesn't have to be so, so scary, because actually you've started to be able to implement and show and teach things on a real basic level that they can then grow and get bigger and bigger. And that's exactly what you've done with that work with those schools.
I hope so. I mean, the so nice, you know, clearly we've got other schools in our sights. We had 6 this year. My hope is that we get closer to 10 of the 16 next year. I've already been in communication with Lee Academy and they come back and said, yes, we want to talk, which is really nice. The lady from Rivermead, EPR, who I hadn't included last year, said they're thinking about it and we will target a few more. And to that extent, then also, you know, where do I pitch my effort for best reward? Because there's only so much to go around. So obviously I've spent some time with the Howard School over the last 12 months and will continue to do that. But I know the Lee will be basically starting to kickstart their eco club again. And I think quite a lot of what we've just done for years 7, 8, 9 at Howard is very relevant to the Lee. And also what's really cool is that as a brand new school, it has a massive advantage in terms of the building's eco-friendliness. Wouldn't it be fantastic to have the Lee invite the other schools in Rainham to come and listen to what they've got in that environment and the benefit that they have?
And see it for real life, isn't it?
And you know, we did the anti-idling workshop up at the Howard School with 2 of the other secondary schools, and how great it was to see the students at that point not working together. It was kind of friendly competition, but they were all part of the same thing. And I think there's so much we can do to join these communities of students and teachers together and to start sharing. Kerry Briffitt, who did a wonderful job pulling all the kind of judging stuff together for the Shield, with her background in the sort of teaching world, we're already starting to talk about how we can start to focus on 2 key things, one being sharing and the other being engagement. And it's not so much what they do and how technically they do it, it's about the way they do it and the messages and the benefit that that has. So we're already starting to think now about how that can come to pass. And working with Nick Grief was an absolute pleasure, you know, to have a real life professor playing on the international stage in our local community who's able to offer some insights and guidance on how some of this works.
And tell us a bit more about Nick Grief, just what's his background, just really quickly.
So Nick is the Emeritus Professor of Law at the University of Kent.
I mean, just that in itself is a bit mind-blowing, isn't it?
focus on human rights law, but very much driven by his own faith, part of the St. Margaret's community, church community, but also this idea of this new motion that's being created about people not being in fear of the threat from above. That's the focus of this piece of work he's doing. And that includes not only air quality and the environment, but it includes nuclear weapons.
Huge.
So there we have this wonderful spread of people who are doing great things in their home. That really matters, because we need a lot of people doing great things in their home, playing out that at their schools, doing that in the community, doing it across Medway, doing it nationally if they can, like the Climate Emergency UK stuff that's going to be launched on the 18th of October.
Yep.
And then like Nick, trying to do that at a world stage. And we need all of those people kind of aligned doing good stuff.
Yeah, and I think having this conversation is really good, and recording it and sharing that is really, really good. And I think the bit that you just said about what people can be doing in their own homes, I think we should definitely look at that on a future podcast, because I think we are really committed to being able to have a nice widespread around given a balance between what you can do and what you can't do. Some people have got headspace to be able to do or get involved or ask to volunteer with some of the stuff that you do, which we can do in our show notes. Actually, we can put a link towards Clever Breathers, which is the group that you're on. But also, if you haven't got the headspace for that, or you feel like that's not kind of your thing, there are things that you can do on a more basic level in your home with your family. Yeah.
And I think that message and that kind of power of the collective is probably the one that's most solidly missing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a post I did recently about the anti-idling project, because that's due to report very shortly, someone had posted, oh, I've kind of worked out for myself that my little contribution doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
And that's so wrong.
Actually, how do you feel when you read that?
Very sad. I'm probably not going to change that person's perspective.
No.
And it doesn't seem to matter that with the fuel price as it was earlier in the year, that they even care that that was a contributing issue. It's just, I've kind of worked out that I can protect and defend my own lifestyle choices, mm-hmm. and will fight to the ends of the earth to protect those rights and behaviours. And yet they won't make some simple changes, which together would make a real difference. So yeah, sad, not disillusioned, because I think it's important we understand that there are people out there that have those kind of...
But issues. Maybe out there was more of those people before we started having these conversations. And
I would think so. I mean, what's very encouraging on the flip side of that is to see people saying, you're wrong, you know, and there being some very positive voices, voices of people that I don't know, yeah. saying, you know, that's a crazy kind of attitude. Yeah. It's just so
it's
much
definitely a rising up of those people stepping in and filling the story in for you.
And yeah. and I think also the people that comment like that guy, I think listening to those is really, really important. And I think those are the voices that we shouldn't straight away dismiss, because I think there's so much learning there from us, really, from and those people.
And one of the things I think in perhaps the lessons I've learned in working with the local authority is you have to be incredibly persistent. And one message, one phone call, one email is just never enough, because they're all busy and they've got lots of other stuff going on in their lives. You have to persist. And it was maybe the third or fourth email, and with support of local councillors and, you know, more voices, that actually stuff starts to change. Or they start to say, oh, you're not just an agitator, you're somebody with ideas. And I think that's important, that it can't just be naysaying,
yeah.
like in this instance. It has
it
to
can't be, you need to do this.
Tell and then what you need to do, Alan.
Yeah. Alan.
I was talking to my two brothers who also live in Raynham, and we were talking about the Red Roots proposal. And one of the things that does kind of irritate me slightly is that there's a lack of innovation and innovative thought about what some of the solutions might be. And there's lots of discussion about, oh, we should have a roundabout at the bottom of Mears Court Road and, you know, large scale. You should knock those two houses down. And that's kind of quite big money and lots of planning and whatever. So I said, well, I got this idea, right? And my idea is you move the bus stop from outside the Healthy Living Centre and you put it in the lay-by in front of the post office. Because actually what that does is reduce the pinch point of the stop of Station Road. It's only another 100 yards from the Healthy Living Centre. There's a nice big lay-by there which provides depth or breadth to enable traffic to get past. Why aren't we thinking about simple stuff like that?
Have you got an answer for that?
No, but I'm going to suggest it.
Because, so, for people that don't know what you just said, we've got a really, really, like, tunnel through our main part of our town, but there is an actual lay-by that already currently exists outside the post office where you would be able to get the bus to stop there instead Maybe. Of at the thing.
I'm sure there'll be reasons why it might not work, but it's more
absolutely.
Of a thinking process.
But I think this is where your genius is that you've got that outside perspective, and I think that is what is so needed, is the outside being able to come up with ideas and then for that to be able to be thought about and discussed rather than completely like, no, sorry, move on, next. We need to be able to have those conversations. I think it's really, I think so, it's gold.
And for people to have their ears open and ready to really actively listen rather than
just saying no.
Well, or just assume that you're part of some political wave in Raynham and that the motivation for making those comments or being against a certain thing yep. isn't actually anything to do with the greater common good. It's more to do with a political belief.
And that's a topic on its own though, right? Because I think it feels like if you care about something and you have a passion about something and you actually want to try and enact change about something, automatically people then get on the defensive and think, oh, you've got a motive there. Yeah, my motive is I actually want to do good. I actually want to see good. But I think that we're so sort of, people are so disillusioned sometimes that that could actually be what you're trying to do. Do you know what I mean? I think I could talk to you and Liz about this for ages, really. We have these conversations a lot, and it's been really, really nice to be able to have it, record it and put it out there, because I think it's really, really helpful. And we would love to have you back to talk about some more practical stuff. Plus, we want to hear more about Shield. Plus, we want to hear more about the Red Roots stuff, because all of that stuff's really, really important. So thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thanks for coming.
That's right. You're welcome.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Raynham Eco Hub's Tread Lightly podcast. If, like us, you're trying to be more sustainable, then like and subscribe to get notified when we release new episodes, or even better, share with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you for joining us. Stay safe, keep going, and find us on socials. Cheers, guys.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.